Okay, we began Perek Dalet Halacha Hey, and we said that the Rambam says Lo Yia HaTalmid Bosh Michaverov, and we offered two suggestions as to how to interpret the Rambam. The Avodah Samel says the source for the Rambam is a Gemara Brachos Samach Gimel Amid Beis. Amar Rab Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Maidich Siv Im Navalta Bis Nase. And on that, the ratio of the Pasuk Gemara says, Kol Am Navel Atzmal Divrei Torah Sofa Lis Nase. And the second part of the Pasuk says, Im Zomosa Yad Lepeh. So Rashi explains, Am Navel Atzmal Sheshoel Lerabo Kol Svei Kosov. The Afal Pishi Yesh Bam Shechaver of Mal Igimolov. And on a person of that sort, he doesn't care. He's going to ask every single question that bothers his mind, despite the fact that his friends, his colleagues are making fun of him. They're scoffing him. That's how motivated he is to clarify the Torah that he's learning. Vim Zomosa. But if he closes his mouth, says Samta. Satam piv milishol stima sapeh is sofcha shetitein yad lepeh kishi shalucha velo teda lohoshif. So we offered two variant interpretations of the phrase lo yia hatalmid bosh. Is it that despite the natural busha, which is an automatic response in these situations, there's nothing, it's natural, there's nothing you can really do to prevent that, but you have to overcome, or shall we say, learn to live with your busha, and you have to experience or express a certain level of mesiras nefesh in order to overcome busha and not to prevent yourself from asking questions. In other words, there'd be a natural inhibition or hesitation on the part of a student to raise the questions that bother his curious mind, because he'll be embarrassed in front of his friends. And the Rambam is telling him, he's requiring of him to overcome that natural reason to be inhibited, the busha. Or perhaps the Rambam is saying that a person, a Talmud, should get to the level where he's so convinced, he's so firm and committed to his requirement, his obligation to ask questions and to understand, that he should reach the level where he's not misbayish. You know, if a person intellectually understands that what he's doing is right and there's no reason for him to be misbayish, he can actually completely null and void busha, remove it from his experience. They say about fundraising, that there are two types of fundraisers. Some fundraisers are embarrassed to ask for money, and somehow they push themselves despite it. Other fundraisers are so convinced of their cause, and it's right, that they will give you the privilege to give money. If you get to that madrigal, you're a great fundraiser. You're so convinced of the cause. So we quoted a Gemara in Brachos about David HaMelech, and David HaMelech says to in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, aren't I a chassid? He sort of waves his banner of piety. He says, whenever I paskin a shayla, first I ask my Rebbe, Mephibosheth. I ask him, Yafedanti, Yofachiyavti. Now, obviously, David HaMelech in such a scenario is exposing himself to a great deal of humiliation. Omer Rabbi Yeshua Breid Rav Idi on a pasuk in Tehillim, Vadabra Beidosecha Neged Melachim Velo Evosh. This is the source for the fact that David HaMelech will speak Divrei Torah. He's never going to be embarrassed, even in front of other kings from other nations. And the Gemara quotes a brisa that Mephibosheth is really Miloshon Ish Boshes. That's his real name. V'lam Nikra Shmo Mephibosheth Shoy Mevayesh Pnei David Ba'alocha. And the Gemara says, as a result, David HaMelech had a son by the name of Kilov. I don't know much about Kilov. Somebody asked me, was it Yonatanu? Yeah, I don't know much about him. So David's language here, with the way the Gemara presents it, is lo boshti. Now, if you take that literally, it sounds like he's saying lo boshti, that I didn't feel any level, any experience of bush at all. But yet, the Gemara says about Mephibosheth that his name reflects the fact shehayim mevayesh pnei David ba'alocha. So David was mispayesh. Rashi also seems to indicate that David experienced busha. He says that bizchusha yedavid maktin atzmo. I mean, that sounds like his expression of humility here in this case is a reflection of his busha, hiktin atzmo. And he asked Mephibosheth. But Rabbeinu Yonah in Avos in Perik Beis on the Mishnah of Lo Abayshan Lomed writes that Midas HaBoshes Hi Tova, it's a good attribute, it's something positive to be embarrassed Bechol Inyan in any other area. It's a reflection of humility. Levad, but one exception is one area, one experience in life where Boshes is negative. We should drop it. And that's with regard to Limud. He says, "Belimud." Kinyan Shinema Vadabra be dosecha negim malach velo evo she David all the shalom bibarchum ibne shol bi omdo lifne malche umasolim lohayim is bayesh. The language of Ben Yonah, lohayim is bayesh. Miludaber betoro bimitzvahs. Gamki yahaslubo, gamki malegim bidvarov. Kilo tova habusha belimud. So busha is antithetical to limud. So loyam is bayesh, says Rabbeinu Yonah. That sounds like there was no busha. And if David is setting the paradigm, then we have to reach that level, according to that, of not having busha. Now, we mentioned the Gemara in Bracho Samach Gimel Amud Beis, which the Avodah Samach points us to. And the Gemara, again, kol ha-menavel atzmal divrei Torah, Rashi says, she-shoel l'rabba kol svei kosov, afal pi she-yesh b'em she-chaverov mal-igim olov. If that's the source of the Rambam, then when the Rambam says, lo yia ha-talmid bosh mi-chaverov shalomdu, shalomdu b'pam rishono, shniyavu l'olomid al-kam pa'omim, then the Rambam, the ikar of the Rambam here is that a student should not be mizbayish in front of his friends, but he should ask his questions. Now let's go back to the previous halach in the Rambam, halach Dalid, and the Rambam there in halach Dalid says, lo yomar atalmid evanti v'hu lo haven, el chozer v'shoel afilu kama pa'omim. So the question I wanted to raise with you is, what's the difference? What is Rambam adding here in Halacha Hey that we don't already know in Halacha Dalet? Isn't this superfluous, repetitious on the Rambam's part? And perhaps we could say that the Rambam here in Halacha Hey is not talking about She'ela, it's not talking about questions. Again, even though the Avodah HaMelech sends us for the source of the Rambam to Bracha Samach Gimel, the subject of which is questions, that you should ask questions, Shaul the Rabba called Tzvei Kosov. But yet if you look carefully at the Rambam, Lo Yehei Bosh, here in Halacha Hey, the Rambam leaves out the concept of She'ela. That word, that term She'ela, doesn't appear. And you get the impression that that's not the subject of this Rambam. And furthermore, the Rambam says, V'hu lo lamad ela achar kama pa'amim. Which sounds like the Rambam is saying that the Talmud asked his questions already. Again, in the Gemara in Brachos, the subject is, ask your questions. You know, don't hesitate, don't be embarrassed. The Gemara is pushing you to raise your questions. Here, the Rambam is talking about someone who has asked his questions already. And at the end of the day, he understands the sugya. But the Rambam says, "Hulo lamad ella acher kama pa'amim." But his problem is that how long of a of a mahalach was it until he finally got to the point where he understood this sugya. It was a long journey for him. So that's why I think the subject of this Rambam is busha. It's not she'ela. You know, the Rambam has already established in the previous halacha that chozer v'shoel afilu kama pa'am. What the Rambam is addressing here, and I think this is the subject of the Rambam halacha hey, is busha. And the Rambam takes a very strong stand about the antithesis, the contradiction between busha and limud haTorah. The Rambam says that it's natural for a person to compare himself to others around him. And he feels a deficiency when he compares himself. He feels inferior because they learned immediately or very quickly, and he took a long time. It took him a few times over until finally he digested the material. And therefore, what's he going to do? What's going to be his natural response? Busha. What is busha? Busha was when you feel that you're not living up to the standards. You feel inferior. You feel deficient. And the Rambam says that those feelings are very detrimental to Limud haTorah. In fact, they're antithetical to Limud haTorah. So much so that the Rambam says here, Nimta nichnas she'im nisbayesh midover zeh. If he feels embarrassed, then what's going to be at the end? Nimta nichnas v'yotzeh beis hamedrash v'eino lomed klum. So the Rambam is on a campaign against busha, because at the end of the day, says the Rambam, if you experience this busha, you'll be left with nothing. So again, the Rambam is saying that even someone who asked this question said at the end he understood what the Rav is saying. Nevertheless, that busha will sort of chase after him. And eventually, if he doesn't overcome busha, it will get the best of him. And at the end of the day, therefore, he'll leave the Beis Medrash and he'll forget everything that he learned. V'hu ein olamed klum. So we're suggesting in the Rambam now a pretty radical possibility that the Rambam's not telling you the stumbling blocks that the impediments that'll prevent you from learning. He's talking that even after you learned, if you're still persecuted, so to speak, by busha, then even what you learned is going to eventually be lost. When he leaves the Beis Medrash at the end of the period of time that he's there, whether it's a month, a year, or 10 years, is hu ein olamed klum. That the busha will just continue to chase after him. So therefore there's a very clear distinction here between two topics, two subjects. The subject of Halacha Dalet and that of Halacha He. In Halacha Dalet, the Rambam is defining the obligation of the student to ask his questions, to ask again and again until he understands the sugya. Here, in Halacha He, the Rambam is addressing someone who studies Torah, yet nevertheless he experiences busha. And the Rambam formulates the detrimental impact of feeling busha. Now, the Rambam uses the word lefichach. Let's read the next line in the Rambam. Lefichach amru chachamim harishonim ein abayshan lamed. What does the word lefichach mean? So, for example, if you go back to Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel, you'll see that the word lefichach means that we set up a klal, and the lefichach produces a halacha, a din, that results, that emanates from that klal. So, for example, there's no mitzvah that shkula keneged Talmud Torah, and therefore lefichach, Talmud kodim lemaisa b'chol makom. Which the Mefarshim explained that if you have a choice between Maisa and Talmud, Talmud takes precedence. So he should dedicate himself to the study of Torah before he jumps into dedicating himself to mitzvahs, because at the end of the day, Talmud Torah shkula keneged kol mitzvahs. So that's lefichach. But here, I don't think you could say that lefichach means, therefore the following din applies. The din in the Rambam here appears in the Reisha, Whereas there, the klal starts with the reish, and the lefichach generates the din. Here, the opposite is true. The reverse, the order is reversed. The Rambam begins with the din, and he tells you, lo yehei ha-talmud bosh, and then he says, lefichach ein ha-baishan lomed, which is some sort of a klal. So apparently, the word lefichach can mean two different things in the Rambam. And that's very important for us, because whenever we open a Rambam and we see the word lefichach, I think we're going to have to come to grips with either A or B. What does lefichach mean? In this context, lefichach is giving us a klal, which explains the halacha that came before it. So sometimes lefichach is generating a halacha lemaisa based on a klal, and sometimes lefichach is giving you the klal that underlies the halacha that came in the reisha. And that's what I think we have here. I'll give you another example of where I think the Rambam uses lefichach as generating a klal rather than generating halacha. Take a look in Perek Gimel Halacha Ches. The Rambam says, Kosuv v'atoro lo b'shamayimi v'lo mevra layamhi lo b'shamayimi lo b'gasei aruachi mitzuya v'lo mevra layamhi lo b'malchei mevra layamhi l'fichach amru chachamim. And here again, the Rambam in this l'fichach is not generating a din, a halacha that he usually does with l'fichach, but rather he's giving us a klal, some sort of a universal understanding of some sort of psychology or human experience that's relevant to the halacha. Lo kol amar b'schora machkim. So if you want to know whether amar b'schora could be a machkim or not, the Chachamim told us that it's not so. And that's going to explain lo mehalche b'mahalche me'evra l'yamhi. That you should know that the price you're going to have to pay for being a mahalich l'evra yam, for getting involved in buying and selling and commerce and business and so forth and so on. Alright, let's go on in the Rambam. Bamed varam amurim, says the Rambam, in some kisva yad, bamed varam amurim is the beginning of a new halacha. Bamed varam amurim bizman shalohe vinu atalmidim adov v'bnei omko omitnei daiton shehi kitzara avlem nika l'rav shem misrashlim b'divrei Torah u'misrapim aleim u'lefichach lo evinu chayev lirgos aleim u'lachlimam bidvarim kidei lechadadon u'be'inyin zeh amru chachamim zrok mara b'talmid. So the Rambam here has an entirely different relationship between the Rebbe and the Talmud. He's talking about lirgos aleim, lachlimon. This is the exact opposite of what we saw at the beginning of Halacha Dalet. The Kesef Mishnah says the source of the Rambam is a short Gemara in Ksubas Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. Amar lo, Rebbe says to Ram Gamliel, Bini, Nahog Nisiuscha Biramim. In other words, as a Nasi, you should be up there, you should be lofty, you should be held on high. Zrok Mara V'Talmidim. And as a Rebbe to your Talmidim, you should inject a sense of reverence and fear in your Talmidim. This, according to the Kesef Mishnah, is the Gemara that serves as the source for the Rambam. Now, this concept of Zrok Mara V'Talmidim could be understood in one of two ways. First, it could be halacha of mitzvahs kvod harav. The Rambam in Perek Hey, halacha aleph, says he mora rabcha kimora shamayim. So the zrok mora v'talmidim reflects that mora of mora rabcha. But the chiddush here of the Rambam is that the Rebbe himself is obligated to set up a situation in which the talmidim will fulfill their obligation of mora rabcha kimora shamayim. So the Rambam is teaching us that there's an obligation incumbent upon the Rebbe to create the ambiance, to do whatever he has in his relationship, his interactions with the Talmidim, to facilitate their, or maximize their ability to fulfill their obligation of Mora Rabcha Kemora Shamayim. Or another way to understand this Rambam has nothing to do with Mora Rabcha. Rather, the Rambam is talking about the Chiyuv of the Rav vis-a-vis Talmud Torah, teaching Torah. And the Rambam is asking, what is the method, or the, as we said before, the atmosphere which is most conducive to successful Limud HaTorah? He's not talking about the Chiyuv on the Rav to set up Mora Rabcha, but rather he wants to know, what's the best method to achieve the goal of Limud Im HaTalmidim, Kedei L'Chadadon, so that they'll be sharp in their learning. So in that sense, the Rambam is addressing not the mitzvah of Adartha Pnei Zaken, but the mitzvah of Shinantam Levanecha. And I thought that the nafkamina between these two interpretations would be the case of a Rav She'eno Muvok. The halacha of Yei Mora Rabcha Kimura Shamayim, the Rambam says in Perikei Halacha Tes, only applies in the case of Rabo Muvok. Shalimdo Rov Chachmasa. It does not apply to a Rav She'eno Muvok. When the Rambam here in Perek Dalet sets up Zrok Mara B'Talmidim, if this is a subset of the mitzvah of Mora Rabcha, then it should apply only in the case of a Rav Muvok. But if on the other hand, the Rambam is addressing the question of chinuch, of Torah, of limutar, the educational issue of how to succeed in creating the ambiance that's most conducive to successful teaching, then it has nothing to do with Rav Muvok. It would apply to any Rav who has an obligation to fulfill the mitzvah of Shinantam Levanecha. And it would seem to me that from the fact that the Rambam sets up this halacha of Zrok Mara B'Talmidim here in Perek Dalet, he hasn't yet introduced the mitzvah lechovah on the Talmidim of Mora Rabcha. It would seem, therefore, that this halacha is a continuation of the Rambam here in Perek Dalet Halacha Beis, Ketzad Melamdim. Meaning, how does the Rav fulfill his obligation vis-a-vis his Talmidim of teaching them Torah? It's part of the dinim of Ishinantam Livanecha. And the Gemara Ksubis, which we started with, the Kesem Mishnah assumes that's the source of the Rambam. Likewise, it says Zrok Mara B'Talmidim. It doesn't say that you have to have a Rav Muvok. It would once again indicate that we're talking about the context is the Chiyuv of Talmud Torah, of Mesiras HaTorah, of Shinantam Levanecha. That the Rav has to be Matil Ema on his Talmidim, and why? Kedei L'Chadadon, to fulfill the mitzvah of Shinantam Levanecha.
It would apply to any Rav,
you're saying? And it would apply to any Rav. So again, both from the Stimas Lashon HaGemara and the Stimas Lashon HaRambam, nobody qualifies, and the whole din of quote of Mora Rabcha only appears in Perek Hei. The Rambam didn't even get to it yet. It would seem that we're talking about any Rav vis-a-vis any Talmud. As long as he's teaching him Torah, this is what he needs to do. He's got to be Zrok Mara B'Talmid. However, there's a kasha to be asked. The Rambam here is mashma that Zrok Mara B'Talmidim is connected and conditional on a situation, a particular situation that arises, that arose in a particular class setting. And that is Shei Misrashlim B'Divrei Torah U'Masrapim Aleihem. It's not an absolute rule of Zrok Mara B'Talmidim. You see, the Kesem Mishnah sends us back to Ksubas. In Ksubas, Rebbe was passing on a legacy to his son, Ram Gamliel. This is the way you should teach your Talmidim. And therefore, the Kesem Mishnah would no doubt understand the Rambam in the same light. But I think that the language of the Rambam here is clearly indicative that this halach of Zrok Mara Talmidim is not some sort of universal, absolute halach that always applies within the context of a Shinantam Levanech. On the contrary, it's more of an aberration, of an exception to the rule rather than the rule.
And I rest my case on two words in the Rambam. Ube'inyan zeh. Look at the Rambam once more. He says, after describing the situation of Israshlus HaTalmidim, he writes, Ube'inyan zeh, within this context, Omru Chachamim Yisroel Gemara B'Talmidim. Clearly the Rambam is not indicating that this is an absolute halacha within the context of Vishinantam Levanecha. There's a condition. There's a situation that arose. That's very difficult. Furthermore, the plot grows thicker if you open up the Rambam in Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel, where the Rambam quotes a pasuk in Shlomo HaMelech. He says, the Yod Omar, Af Chachmasi Omdali. What's Af? Chachma Shalomadati Ba'af. He Omdali. Which Torah is Miskayim B'yado? When a person remembers the Torah, which Torah is it? What's Limud Torah on the maximum level? Says the Rambam, Af Shalomadati Ba'af. I learned the Torah, so to speak, with anger. In other words, the Rebbe got angry at me. So that Torah I won't forget. And the Rambam, in Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Beis, when he talks about Chochma Shalmati Ba'af, he doesn't qualify that it's talking about a case of Israshlus HaTalmidim. It seems to be an absolute halacha. That in Hilchas Dinei Talmud Torah, a person should be learning in this, how should I say, ambiance of Af. Chachma Shalomadati Ba'af. Which would sound like Zrach Marav and Talmidim, except for the fact that the Rambam here, in Perek Dalet Halacha, writes, Be'inyin Zeh. Only if they were Misrashel B'Talmidim. Now, by the way, you may think that I'm building a mountain here on a molehill, because Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Beis, all right, a couple of words in the Rambam, Chachma Shalomadati Ba'af. But I'd like to bring another Rambam, which I think for sure indicates that this halacha of Torah Shalavadati Bi'af, there should be a certain sense of fear of the Rebbe. In Yiddish we say mitzitit, you know, we're shaking, is something that's not conditional, but it's built into the nature of Talmud Torah and the successful endeavor of Talmud Torah. The Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos at the end of Avos quotes Chachamim and he says the following, Omru, She'ein miskayim in alimud, el mashen nilmad, biyigia ubeleus ubiyira min amalamit. So amongst these three elements, which the Rambam sets up as conditions in successful limud Torah, she'ein miskayim in alimud, the third of which is yira. So what's this whole business here in the Rambam? Nika l'rav she'ein misrashim v'divrei Torah, blah blah blah. What's that all about? If this halacha of Zrok Marav Talmidim, and the Rambam says it twice, without condition, why here does he present it as if it's conditional? So what I'd like to suggest is that the Rambam himself has a kasha. In other words, the Rambam himself sees a stira in Chazal, and he's trying to reconcile that contradiction. Because on the one hand, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Ein HaKabdon Melamed. And the Rambam, earlier here in Halacha Dalid, establishes that Ein HaKabdon Melamed. He says, HaRav Shalimed V'lo Yivinu HaTalmidim Lo Yichos Aleim V'Yirgas Elechozer V'Shona, etc. So we see that the Rav, according to the Rambam, has to be someone who's tolerant, he's pliable, he's a savlan, he has patience, and not a kapton. On the other hand, Chazal tells us, Zrok Mar B'Talmidim. That's the Gemara Ksuvos that we started with. So how do we reconcile these two? On the one hand, you know, a person has to be, Ein HaKapton Malam, and he has to be a savlan, and on the other hand, Zrok Mar B'Talmidim. So the Rambam's answer, apparently, is that both are true, and it depends in what situation. L'chatchila, the best of all bests, the ideal situation, is that the Rav be a Savlan. He should not be makpid. Ein ha-kapta malamit. He shouldn't get angry at them.
Oh, but Chazal says Rokmar b'talmidim. So the Rambam, again here in Mishneh Torah, I'm not 100% convinced that my pshat in the Rambam will square with the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayis that we quoted before in Avos. But at least in terms of the two Rambams here in Perek Dalid, the Rambam reconciles this apparent contradiction by saying that although l'chatchila, if everything is perfect, if the circumstances are the way they should be l'chatchila, then the Rav's attitude and his interrelationship with the Talmidim is not a kaptum, but rather a savlan. He's got to be very, very patient. However, what about Zrok Mar b'Talmidim? Says the Rambam, ubeinyin zeh. If you're not in the l'chatchila situation, and the Talmidim are misrashlim, then chayav lirgos aleim ulachlimam bidvaren. Kedei lizarzam belimut. So now we go back to the Rambam in Perek Gimel, when the Rambam says, Chochma shalamadati bi'af, hisha amdali. The Rambam is not talking about an absolute obligation on the Rav. But rather, the Rambam is saying that within the context of Limud Torah, there will be situations in which the Rav may be called upon, and certainly licensed, to use this method, this attribute of af. Af meaning anger, of kas. But the Rambam is not establishing that that's a universal requirement under all circumstances in the relationship between the Rav and the Talmud. And basically, there are two midos here of Eina Kaptam Olamed and Chochma Shalamati Ba'af, and the Rambam sees that the Rav, what's incumbent upon the shoulders of the Rav, is to somehow he's got to juggle these two midos, but there's a word I'm looking for in English that would really capture this. What do you say?
Balance.
Balance. Okay, maybe we'll use the word balance, but there's another word that I'm looking for. So again, so the many faces of the Rav in terms of his relationship to his Talmidim. Sometimes he's going to be a very soft and pliable individual. He's a savlan. He's not going to get angry, chas v'shalom. And the other times he's a kabdot. He's rok marvit Talmidim. He generates fear. And the Rav has to know when to utilize and when to apply which of these two midos. And the difference between here in Perek Dalid and there in Perek Gimel is the following. When the Rambam here in Perek Dalid addresses the case of Talmidim Misrashlim, included within this af, within this anger, so to speak, is Hachlomas HaTalmidim. Notice when the Rav feels compelled and required to give tochacha to his talmidim because they're misrashlim b'limud, then he has to use hachlomas ha-talmidim. That's a very heavy dosage. Hachlomas ha-talmidim. Yachlimam bidvarim, the Rambam says. You know, today they would give other adjectives to describe this. But in Perek Gimel, when the Rambam speaks about chochma shalamadati ba'af, he's not talking about Talmidim or Misrashlim. He's talking about a relationship between the Rebbe and the Talmud and the Rebbe, if we go in that direction, of Mora b'Talmidim. He's not talking about Hachloma b'Dvarin. He's talking about creating an atmosphere that's full of Zrizus, I guess you'd say. Now, let's learn the Gemara in Shabbos. On Daf Lamed Omid Beis, I think you have it on the Mar Makomos. Om Rav Yehuda Brei de Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat, Mishmei de Rav. Bikshu Chachamim Ligno Sefer Koheles. There were contradictions in Sefer Koheles. And one of them revolves around this concept of Simcha. Ksiv V'shibachti Anis HaSimcha. On the one hand, Shlomo Melech has a positive view about Simcha. He praises it, ulesimcha. On the other hand, ulesimcha, ksiv ulesimcha, ma ze as asa. So the Gemara says that when he's meshabach simcha, that's referring to simcha shal mitzvah. But when he sort of disqualifies simcha, that's that Simcha Sheina Shel Mitzvah. And here's where the Gemara formulates a very important principle that appears also in the Gemara Bracha, so the Rambam brings it down in Hilchos Tefillah. Ein Ashchina Shora Lo Mitoch Atzvus, Lo Mitoch Atzlus, Lo Mitoch Schok, Lo Mitoch Kals Rosh, etc., 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 Ela Mitoch Simcha Shel Mitzvah. So we have now an equation, or let's say a cause and effect relationship between Simcha Shel Mitzvah and Hashras Hashchina. There must be Simcha Shel Mitzvah as a prerequisite for Hashras Hashchina. So far the Gemara is talking about Simcha Shel Mitzvah. It's not talking about Talmud Torah. But Amar Rabbi Yehuda, a little bit later on in the Gemara, on the same daf, V'chein L'dvar Halacha, and the same rule applies in the study of Torah. One must study Torah from an attitude of Simcha. The Gemara asks, V'eini, is that really true? V'omar, Rav Gidol, Amar Rav, Kol Talmud Chacham, Sheyoshev Lifnei Rabo, the ein sfasav notfos mar is techavena. In other words, he has to be notfos mar. Is his mouth? Is he so scared? He's trembling, as we said before, in front of his rebbe, that he's the saliva that's coming out of his mouth out of this sense of tremor. Obviously, that's antithetical to simcha. Lo kasha, the Gemara says. And the Gemara quotes two answers. I want to focus our attention on the first of the two answers. But the Gemara says the following. Ha v'rabba, with regard to his rav, v'ha v'talmud. Iba yisei ma'ha v'ha v'rabba, lo kasha mekami deliftach, ho lebasa deposach. Now, before the Rebbe starts the shiur, there should be an atmosphere in the classroom of simcha. Once he starts the shiur, then there's a complete radical a sharp shift in the atmosphere, and it's one of notfos mar. And the Gemara quotes Rabba, that Rabba, before he started the shiur, he would say over milsa dibidikusa. So the Aruch HaShulchan, which I don't know if we have one here, I'd love to see it inside. The Aruch HaShulchan says, do you have one? Only if it's not a problem. I know there's one on Eben Ezra. I don't know if there's one on Yoredeh. I never really looked. But Yoredeh probably has a bunch of volumes. We're looking for Simon Reish Mem Vav, Hilchos Talmud Torah. It's probably in the third volume. Reish Mem Vav, Sifkaten Chaf Zion. And the Aruch HaShulchan is, thank you very much, is bothered why the Rambam omits this whole discussion about telling a joke before the shiur. He quotes our Rambam, and he says, "Kol elu advarim." All these things are made to guarantee ema v'yira. And then he quotes the Gemara of Rabba Mekami, or Rav, I don't know, he has it as Rav, I don't know, in our Gemara it says Rabba Mekami de posa b'shmaita tzarch lios b'simcha chen posach b'vilsa de b'dichusa. Oh no, he has Rabba, I made a mistake. V'aposkim lo his kiru mizeh dover v'lo yadati lama. Where did this halacha of poskim b'milsa de b'dichusa, where did it get lost? But Ulai, perhaps he suggests, time on, if Nesha Midoros Halolu, im Natil Aleim Ema. This is inconsistent with Simcha and Bedichusa, so we need Hatolas Ema. He says it in terms of the Doros, that there's a change in the psychology through the generations. But perhaps we can analyze Rabbi Yehuda's statement in the Gemara and Shabbos, V'chein L'dvar Halacha, that even with regard to teaching Halacha, the Torah says, Shlomo Melch says, V'shibachti anias ha-simcha, and that Halacha of Simcha, we said, is a prerequisite Tashras HaShechina. The Rambam indeed, when he talks about nevuah in Hilchos Yisori HaTorah Perek Zayin, says Eina nevuah shora mitoch atzvus el mitoch simcha. In other words, simcha is a prerequisite hashras hashchina in the case of a navi. But Rabbi Yehuda is applying it not just to the case of a navi, but also to Talmud Torah, to Limud Torah. And I thought that maybe we could go very far with this and say that what underlies, in a concealed way, Rabbi Yehuda's statement of Avachem L'dvar Halacha is an equation between Nevuah and Limud Torah. That just like in Nevuah, the goal is Hashras HaShechina, so too in Limud Torah, the goal is Hashras HaShechina. Because the Gemara says in Brachos Minayin, Shafilu Echad Yosef Yosef B'Torah Shechina Imo, Shenema Kol Mokom Asher Azkir Shmi Ovo Elechu Bartich. It means that the Gemara is establishing that even one person who learns Beino Levein Atzmo, he himself is together with the Shechina. And the Rambam in Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel, based on the Yerushalmi, says, Amru Chachamin, Bris Krusa, Shekol Yogea, B'Talmudo, B'Beis HaKnesses, according to that Girsa, Lo B'Mehera Hu B'Shakeach. In other words, that Torah should be studied where? You and I would have said in a base, HaMedrash, the Rambam says, according to this Girsa, in the Rambam base, HaKnesses, and this is based on Yerushalmi. So the obvious question is, why is there a connection between Talmud Torah and Beis HaKnesses? Beis HaKnesses is a Mokum Tefillah, not a Mokum Talmud. So the answer might be, in this equation between Ashras HaShechina of a Navi and Ashras HaShechina of Talmud Torah. If the goal of Talmud Torah is a relationship with Shechina, then Beis HaKnesses, as a makom amyuchad l'shchina and all the dinim of kedushas beis haknesses, which reflect the kedushas hashchina, is the proper place for the study of Torah. So the Rambam says it's not just enough; it's not sufficient hayogea b'talmudo that he's working very hard in his Talmud. That for sure is a prerequisite, but on top of that, he should set aside a place, designate a place for his own personal relationship with shchina. And if there's a location on the face of the earth where the Shekhinah is Shora, albeit not for him personally, but for Klal Yisrael, for the Tzibur that davens there, that is the place where he can experience Hashras HaShekhinah not just as part of a Tzibur, but on a personal level, when he's Yageh B'Talmudo in a Beis HaKnesses. If this be the case, we understand full well why Rabbi Yehuda requires Simcha. Because since the rule is that Ein HaShekhinah Shora, Mitoch Atzvus, that the lack of Simcha is antithetical to Shechina. Therefore, in Talmud Torah, to the extent in which we equate Talmud Torah with Shechina, we need a place or an experience that's conducive to Shechina. And Atzvus is antithetical to Shechina, so you need Simcha. But the Gemara asks, what do you mean Simcha? Rav Gidol Amarav says that you have to sit in front of your Rebbe with Sfasav Notfos Mar. He's got to be in such a state of fear that it has a physical, physiological expression in his body. How do you reconcile that with Simcha from Yehuda? Those are two antithetical experiences. So the second text of the Gemara is going to distinguish between before the process of Talmud Torah started, after it began. But in the first teretz, the Gemara says something phenomenal. That it all depends on what situation of Talmud Torah you're talking about. Are you talking about a case of someone who's learning by himself, or the rabbah, somebody who's learning in front of his Rebbe? When Rav Gidol Amarav says that the psychological state of a Talmud is one of fear and trembling, he's talking about a Talmud who's sitting in front of his Rebbe. But if it's a Talmud who's learning Beino Levein Atzmo, and his experience of Shechina is a private one, not in front of his Rebbe, he should try to seek out the Shechina and expand, maximize his capacity for Talmud Torah. And here the vehicle, the prerequisite is going to be Simcha. Because without Simcha, there's no Ashras HaShechina. So if this be the case, let's go back to the Rambam. The Rambam has elsewhere discussions about Simcha in general. That's at the end of Hilchos Lulav. The Rambam speaks about how important, how critical Simcha and Avodas Hashem is. And that applies to all mitzvahs HaTorah. But in Limud Torah, there may be a specific requirement of Simcha as part of the Kiyum of Limud Torah in order to achieve Hashras HaShechina. And that's why the Rambam, as we said before, tells us in Perek Gimel that a person should learn in a Beis HaKnesset to achieve the Simcha of Shechina. And furthermore, the Rambam at the end of Perek Gimel quotes the pasuk Tachas Eshelo Avadetas Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Leivav. And here he's talking about Talmud Torah. So you see that the Rambam wants to generate an equation between Talmud Torah and Avodas Hashem, and Lo Avadetas Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha, without Simcha there's no Avodas Hashem. So to the extent to which that Talmud Torah is part of and even generates Avodas Hashem, it's the pinnacle of an expression of Avodas Hashem, you have to have Simcha. In fact, if you take a look at the Nusach in the fourth parak of Brachos, the Nusach of someone who goes into Beis HaMedrash, this is the famous prayer of Rav Nechunya ben Akana. So it says there, Ve'esmach bohem. In other words, they should be happy with me, my colleagues, and I should be happy with them. So if you take a look on the Madane Yontif there in the fourth parak in the Rosh, in Siman Yudbeis, he adds that Lufi Anira Hoyra of Nechunya ben Akana Mispal Shiyelo Simcha Vigil B'Divrei Torah. Interesting. You know, there's Simcha in all of mitzvahs, in all of Avodas Hashem, but here we specify Simcha in Talmud Torah. And you know the famous introduction of the Igle Tal, the Sokhet Shomer Rebbe, to his work on Shabbos, where he says that there are those who atow him, they make a terrible mistake, and they think you shouldn't learn b'simcha, it should be l'shma, and simcha undermines l'shma, and he says, no, ikar mitzvahs limud Torah, li'osas v'samech b'limudo. So there are a number of indications that simcha is a prerequisite to Talmud Torah on the highest level. Yeah, what does he say? Remind me.
That mitzvahs lava henes minud doesn't apply to Talmud Torah, we say v'haravna.
Because since the Hanah and the Simcha of Talmud Torah is so essential to the mitzvah, you can't say Lav Lehenos Nitnu. Lav Lehenos Nitnu means if you have a side Simcha, you know, you're listening to a shofar and you get some pleasure from it. But if the essence of the mitzvah is Simcha, you can't say Lav Lehenos Nitnu. That's exactly what the mitzvah is all about. So therefore, maybe we can answer the Aruch HaShulchan's kasha now. Why does the Rambam omit here, when he's talking about Zrok Maro B'Talmidim, the halacha of cracking a joke before you start Torah? The answer is because the Rambam here in Perek Dalet is addressing the situation of a Rebbe teaching a Talmud. So since the Gemara in its first answer says, Haba Rabba Haba Talmud, the Rambam understood that Rabbi Yehuda's din, that you need Simcha in order to achieve Shechina as part of Avodas Hashem, that applies to a person's personal limud. But it has nothing to do with the Talmud at Yoshev Sei Rabba. Therefore, the Ram completely omits that halacha of Simcha here in Perek Dalet when he's addressing the halacha of the obligations of the Rav teaching his Talmidim. Elsewhere, he'll talk about Simcha, he'll talk about Shechina, but not here. Here, he's talking hard to the Rabba. And Habit the Rabba, the Gemara says, in the name of Gidol Amarav, Chayev Leos Svasov Notfos Mar. In other words, that Limud should be Mitoch Yira, not Mitoch Simcha. And Yira and Simcha are antithetical. That's the whole premise that underlies the Gemara's kasha there in Masechet Shabbos Daf Lamed. Is therefore, I think it's very sharp. The Rambam is very deliberate about omitting the halacha of Simcha here in Perek Dalet. Here he's addressing the Talmud at Yosef Nei Rabo, and the Iker Mitzvah Chiyuv is Shei Notfos Mor is Mora, and with regard to Simcha, we have other Rambams in Perek Gimel, where the Rambam indicates that there has to be a connection between Torah and Simcha. The only thing is, the Gemara in Erevin is difficult. You remember the Gemara in Erevin we did last week, on Daf Nun Dal, Rabbi Kiva Omer Minayin Shechayev Adam L'Shanos L'Talmido Ad She'ilam Denu, etc. Uminayin Ad She'teistur B'Fiyam, etc. He quotes another pasuk, Uminayin Shechayev L'Haros L'Oponim. And the Mepharshim say, what's Laharos lo ponim? Ponim sochakos. It means limud b'simcha. And here the Gemara is talking about a Rav who's teaching his Talmidim. So this Gemara would undermine everything we've been saying. Except I have one nechama. The Rambam doesn't quote that Gemara. He completely omits it. Perhaps The Rambam understood that Gemara the way Rashi understood it. What's Laharos lo ponim? Not ponim sulchakos. But rather, says Rashi, says, Loseis tam bidvarav. Ponim means tam. It doesn't mean a facial smile. And Rashi spells it out. He says, lo yomar. He shouldn't say to his Talmidim, kach shamati. This is what I heard. Havein ata. Hatam biatzva. You crack your brains. But rather, you should give the tam of the mitzvah. So then the din. So that's how Ponim Sochakos. And that would be the Rambam here in Perek Dalet, that the Rambam says he should review over and over again, Chozev Shona Dovar, Ad Shiavinu Omek HaAlocha. What's Omek HaAlocha? Omek HaAlocha is Ponim Shal HaAlocha. It means Tamim Shal HaAlocha. That's the Chiyuv of the Rambam. And therefore it's so important to recognize that the Rambam here in Perek Dalet is codifying the Gemara in Shabbos of Mora, in terms of a Talmud who's sitting in front of his Rav, and he's codifying the Gemara of Rabbi Akiva and Erevin, that it's not enough that the Rav teaches and passes on information, he's got to go beyond that and reveal the Talmud that underlie the mitzvahs, and that's Omek HaLacha, those poetic words that I love. And the Rambam here in Perek Dalet, when he's talking about the obligation of the Rav to teach Biyira, is also codifying, I think, the Gemara in Ksuvos that we spoke about before, Rebbe's legacy to his son Ram Gamliel, when he says Zrak Mara B'Talmidim. So again, we see that this concept of Mara, of learning Torah out of fear, is specifically limited to the context of a relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud. And basically, there are two sides to this coin. Number one, the Rebbe has to engender this Mora. And that we see from the fact that Rebbe instructed his son, Zrok Mora B'Talmidim. And secondly, there's a Chiv on the Talmud, a commensurate or a mirror image on the Talmud, a parallel image, Chiv, to be Yoshev Lifnei Rabo, as Rabbi Yudom Arav, as Rabbi Gidom Arav says. And he should be notfos mar. The chiv on the Talmud, perhaps, is what the Rambam refers to in Perek Gimel when he says Chochma Shalamadati Ba'af. There, the Rambam is addressing the Talmud, so he has to learn Torah Biyira Ba'af. And we saw the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos and others. Here in Perek Dalet, the Rambam is addressing the chiv on the Rav, as we saw a Rebbe who instructed his son Zrok Mar B'Talmid. But both together form a whole, a unit. This also might touch on the issue of whether Talmud Torah, Mesiras HaTorah, should be a duplication, a replica of Mesiras HaTorah as it was given at Har Sinai, Be'emo Be'ira, to such an extent as we discussed, it was necessary to set up Moshe Rabbeinu as the Sarsor, as the Meturgamon, to create a certain distance between HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Rebbe teaching Torah and the Talmidim and Bnei Yisrael. Now, I want to point out as we end the Shir that the Rambam in Perek Vav Halacha Gimel writes, Ein roi l'chacham shiatriach es ha'am v'yechavein atzmo lehem. The chacham should not go directly to the people in such a way, Kadesh Yamdu Miponav, they'll have to stand for him. El Yelech, the Ram recommends or requires that he go B'derech Tzara, find a different way. Umiskavin Shlo Yiru also, Kadesh Yatricham La'amot. And I was wondering, the Ram codifies that Allah in Perek Vav, which seems to apply to a Chacham. He shouldn't be Matriach Ha'am. The Ram doesn't use the word Rav and Talmud. So is it possible that with regard to a Rav and a Talmud, on the contrary, the Rambam would say that he shouldn't go find himself a Derech Tzara, so the Talmidim don't stand? Because otherwise, why does the Rambam omit this here, and he places it there in Perek Vav? So you'll ask me, so what's the difference between a Chacham and his relationship to the Am, and the Rav and his relationship to the Talmud? So I think the answer is pashut, but very fundamental. Chacham, in his relationship to the Am, is the mitzvah of Adarta Pnei Zaken. Here, the Ram is talking about the mitzvah of Shinantam Luvanecha. And within the context of Shinantam Luvanecha, the allegation imposed upon the Rav is Lahatil Emal Lehem. The Raman says, Ein Roy LaRav Lino Kalis Rosh Lifnei Talmidim Velo Lischok Bifneim Velo Lecho Velishtos Imoyim. By the way, this halach is so foreign to our ears today, but that the Rebbe should find himself in a different kitchen. By the way, I have a Talmud who's already gone beyond me, who's a Rebbe, and he's very makbid on this. You know, he mamish takes this Rambam seriously. But it's him against mostly the rest of the world. You know, mostly. I shouldn't say all. I know a few other Rebbeim who are like that. But a lot of the Rebbeim are, you know, chummy, and they put their on, and this, and they eat with them, and they joke with them, and everything else. So that's also a derech. But that's not what the Rambam says here. The Rambam says, Shetehei Emos Aleim. So maybe within the context of the chiyuv of the Rav of Teimos Aleim, but he has to generate this mora, this fear. Enochinami, not only shouldn't he eat with them, but he also should not go b'derech k'tzara. He should not try to avoid a situation where they will stand in his honor, because standing in honor of the Rebbe is also part of the mitzvah of Tehei Mora Aleim. And I just rest my case here with a Gemara in Menachos, which seems to be totally antithetical to what I'm saying. The Gemara in Menachos, Lamed Gimel, says, "Ahi pischa di ayel be Rebbe lebe midrasha." Rashi says that Rebbe had a certain small opening, an entranceway, shoyel ol Rebbe, Eitzel Makomo, was very close to his place where he learned in the Beis Medrash. V'ayinichnas v'yotzei bo. Why? Why did Rebbe do such a thing? Kedei, says Rashi, shalo yatriach talmidov lamod b'fanav. Rebbe created this whole structure in order to avoid having to impose upon his talmidim to stand in his presence. I mean, you see from this that the relationship between a Rebbe and his talmidim is such that the Rebbe should avoid having his talmidim to stand up. I don't get that impression from the Rambam. The Rambam seems to say that on the contrary, Zrok Marvet Talmidim, and he completely omits the halacha of circumventing the Talmidim to avoid Amida. He brings it down in Perek Vav within the context of the mitzvah of Adarta Pnei Zokein. So therefore, I'm tempted to think that the Rambam somehow, I don't know how, reinterpreted the Gemara Menachos, not the way Rashi did. Maybe Rebbe in his relationship with his Talmidim was some sort of exceptional case, but the universal principle is, no. Adarabba, within the context of this distance relationship, where the Rambam says he shouldn't be Noi Kalis Rosh, he shouldn't be joking with them and laughing with them, he shouldn't be eating with them, in that context, it's appropriate that the Talmidim should stand for the Rebbe, and the Rebbe should encourage that, and not look for other alternative, you know, ways of circumventing the Amidus HaTalmid. How to reconcile with the Gemara Menachos, I don't know. And the Mitzvah Shem will try to figure this out. That's going to be a project.